I need you so. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. We need you near. We will not fear when you are here. Yes, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So today we want to talk about deep things. In order to experience the deep things of God, we need to break through the shallow ground and go deep to the firm foundation. Don't quit when you dig just a little ways. Break through. Don't stop in shallow. In the sower's story, shallow. Shallow was a problem. We don't want to be shallow Christians. We don't want to be where things come and they grow up a little bit and then they die. We could sit in church and a seed hits and man, it sounds like a great thought and a great idea, and then we walk out of church and it's a nice day. And that plant that just grew up might be in our way, and we just let it go. And so we have to make room for more. Shallow faith looks at people who are hard and fast after the Lord and says, whoa, don't get carried away. Shallow faith then says to themselves, I know enough and I'm pretty good and that's all that I need. But the Lord, he just says, get it on good ground, okay? The truth is, I look at this not just as a singular idea, but I look at this as something that we should look at, not like, because you see, we all have paths. We all have pathways that are hardened where seed can land and the birds can take it away because our hearts are hardened towards something. We've already decided about that. Whatever. We all have hard places. I had a hard place. When I first got saved, I had a cousin that said to me, well, maybe. You know, do you speak in tongues? And I said, I didn't even know there was such a thing at that point in my Christian walk. I mean, my life had changed drastically, and I was hard after God, but I was not absolutely ready to sit down in any spot. I knew there was more to Jesus. I just knew. And when he said that, I said, well, you know, typical thing, I knew some things about him, and I made this decision in my head that, hey, I can be a better Christian than you. I don't need to speak in tongues. Well, I tried to build a path there, but God came with a big shovel, and he changed my mind about what I need and what I don't need. I needed everything that God had, and I needed everything the Holy Spirit brought along, and so speaking in tongues, I didn't know I needed it, but you understand, for a brief moment, I packed down that spot so that seeds about it had a tendency to, for me to just blow them off, had a tendency for me to say, hey, I can do it without, but That's crazy to think you can do without anything that God has. Some people build a path on those things because, well, they've always been taught that those things passed away. And since those things passed away, then they don't need them and they just let them go away. And then those people that are doing it, they think, oh, those radicals. And some people say, well, that's of the devil or whatever the case might be. Anyway, we can build a path. And honestly, tongues is a place where there's a packed down path. And some people are just so against it. And then there's other people that are so for it that their path is packed. And they'll say, well, you can't even be saved if you don't. Well, here's the deal. With anything with God, he says it's for you. You can have it. And that's just it. And so we should desire it. The Bible says to desire deep things. Desire deep things of God. In other words, if it seems too deep for us, it's for us. So anyway, we've got that path that just where the birds take it. Now I also think that those seeds may land on the path. But God is capable of having those stick to us, maybe get stuck in the cuff of our pants or something where they can come up, because apparently that's what happened with me. That seed that I was so adamantly opposed to turned into something that I longed for, and because I was a little hardened about how that was going to take place for a long time, I resisted because I wasn't going to make it up and nobody was going to say that, you know. And ultimately I just said, Lord, you know what? Nobody's here. And you know and I know, and if I make it up, I'll know and you'll know and we'll start over. And that was the end of that. That path got busted up and turned it into fallow ground and ready to grow seeds. So, deep things and soil. So the stuff that falls on the path and the birds eat it. Okay, we can still redo some of those seeds, even because we all have those packed places, and then we all have the shallow places. We all have the places where, yeah, that sounds great, but it's not what I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable just where I am. And so even though those things will, you know, tempt us to go deeper and well, why we might just consider it, the enemy's quick to come. You might have something that's growing up and you might go and talk to the wrong person about, you know, I've really been thinking about this, and that person will just, boom, quench that fire. And so whether you quench it yourself or someone else, shallow faith fizzles. Okay, the shallow ground, it's not terrible ground because something can get started, but when something gets started, you got to really watch it because temptation might come or a trial might come, and ooh, that just wipes it out. So we've got the shallow ground, and Jesus challenges us to choose to go deeper. Holy Spirit tells us that he will show us the way. He's been sent to lead us into all truth. Now, the truth is that unfortunately, many Christians have not determined in their hearts that they want to go into all truth. They're willing to camp at enough truth. So, you know, it's like, okay, people can be real set on the idea of, okay, you got to baptize a baby, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, but that baptism of a baby is a dedication to raise that child so that when that child gets older, that child will choose for themselves. Now, that a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, and that's fine. That's fine. But my thing is that, okay, when I finally met Jesus and I got saved, and I wanted to do everything that Jesus wanted me to do. Didn't matter what it was. I was going to do everything he wanted to do. And so we were going to be baptized. And so I was excited about it. I didn't know why I was excited about it, except I was excited about anything that had to do with Jesus. And I remember talking to my brother and saying, hey, Vicki and I are going to be baptized. And my brother said, well, you were baptized when you were a baby. I said, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I was. But it says you got to believe and be baptized. And I didn't. Not only did I not know anything at the time that I was baptized, I didn't believe anything. I got wet. But I had done what, you know, everybody was happy when I was a baby because my folks had done the right thing. But when I got older, then I chose. And so I believe that the Bible wants us to choose. And that's up to anybody. But you see, something, just even a word like that could touch the heart of someone, and they could think, you know, I was baptized as a baby too, but I didn't believe at the time. Maybe I should do something about that. Now, I know many, 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 many adults. I've known some very older adults that were baptized after they believed, and I saw a man in the nursing home one day rolling down the hall in a wheelchair saying, how come I didn't know this? How come I didn't know this? How come I didn't know this? He had gotten saved, and he was so excited, you know. And so the Word of God's exciting, and we should just enter in to it. And then we also, but we've all got some shallow spots. We've all got some spots that maybe we need to make sure that we haven't just let them die. Maybe we need to stir them up. Maybe we need to fix them up. Maybe we need to transplant them. But you see, the Holy Spirit takes us to deep things. And then Jesus talked about the seed that falls in the ground and the thorns come up, you know. Troubles come, trials come. And chokes it out. Man, it's so close. Going so strong, and then boom, give up. I have seen that. I've seen people that were just excited, and every truth that came along was working, and then something came up and something didn't go right. And the one thing that didn't go right just choked out everything they'd come to. Now, that doesn't mean they're dead and going to hell. That means that there has to be a revival in their life. There has to be a new thing happen in their life. And that's what we pray for. We don't give up on people, but the truth of the matter is that sometimes some incident, you know, an accident, a sickness, you know, it can be anything. I remember years ago, we ended up with a feral cat that brought kittens, and you know, I'm not even a cat person, but that cat and I, we like each other now. But she had a little tomcat kitten in one of her litters, and this cat, called him Mackie. He was just so cool. He was just the coolest cat, just cool. And he and his mother stayed with us. And his mother, I'd whistle, and they'd come, and the dog had come. At one time we had three dogs with them walking around the track, and two cats, you know. And we would do the track. They would always show up to do the track, and just precious, just wonderful. And one day Mackie didn't come home at night. And I'd whistled for him, and just hadn't found them. The next morning, I went out, and I'm looking, and I looked down the highway. And I hoped it was a Walmart sack laying beside the highway, but I walked down, and sure enough, it was Mackie. And I picked up Mackie, and my heart was kind of a little bit broken, and I'm carrying Mackie, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, man, you know, I'd had my son Josiah that died in my arms, and Mackie, of course, was already gone, but it was like, you know, honestly, I looked at that and I just said, you know, I remember this feeling. I probably felt it more with the cat, not because Josiah wasn't important, but because I had such a peace of God with Josiah, it was like it was unreal. But it was just like I almost got to feel a little bit of what went on then and you know, things like that. I have seen people that just, why did God let that happen? Well, things happen. We better understand. I mean, before we knew Jesus, we understood that things happened. And a lot of times, unfortunately, people that don't even think much about Jesus, don't think much about God, something happens and they blame God. Why did God let this happen? Or worse yet, why did God do this? Just a slight thought here, because we should know better. But the truth of the matter is that God said he has good plans for us. And so he's not out to do things to us. He's out to do things for us. You see, in James chapter 1, that special place that we all see, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Everybody's heard it. Everybody's looked at it and said, troubles come, great joy. Yep, for you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. Is God throwing rocks at you for your endurance to grow? No. He's not trying to ruin your good soil. No, it's just an opportunity. So we understand that no matter, things happen, and when things happen, let's see how we can grow that up into a victory. Because things happen, okay? Say that, things happen. Things happen in life. Things happen to everybody. Things happen to non-Christians. Things happen to Christians, because this world is full of things that can happen. Good things happen. Bad things happen, but things happen. And so we come, and so when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. These things test our faith. God's not, you know, waiting for us for a while and then coming out and passing out quizzes so you can test your, so he can test your faith. He doesn't tempt us. Some people say, you know, we won't be tempted more than we can hold because God's not going to tempt us more. No, he's telling us no matter what you're tempted with, I can get you through it. You have a weak spot and you get tempted. It isn't God working on your weak spot. It's things working on your weak spot, and God's there to say, okay, let's take this down now. Let's get your endurance past this now, because it says, so let your endurance grow. Let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When I read that this last week, I thought, okay, so my endurance is going to be developed until I walk into heaven. Seriously, because our endurance is never going to be fully developed. There's always going to be an opportunity for it to develop. But as it's developing, we're being perfected and complete, needing nothing. But at the same time, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So we have perfect and complete needing nothing times. Now, they might be short times, they might be long times, you know, who knows, but our endurance is always there to kick in. That we aren't supposed to walk around going, well, I knew something had to happen. I knew something had to happen. Things were going too good. I knew something happened. It had to happen. Why'd God let it happen? God didn't let it happen. It happened. But God's in control of everything. He had to let it happen. Yeah. Can I tell you how I really think about that? I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that I have not, in all of the things that have taken place in our lives since I've come to know Jesus, and I want to say that some of the very worst things that have happened to me in my life happened since I knew Jesus, and it's never occurred to me that it was God's fault or God's plan. Honestly, never. Now, before I knew Jesus, I brought a lot of things on me that weren't God. I do remember, though, one time when my grandmother passed away and my mother just stopped at the school, called me out of the lunchroom, leaned out the window and said, "Your grandmother died. You need to go home." And that was it. And a friend of mine was walking with me, and I remember then at that time, I said, well, why would God let this happen? Why would I think about God then? I hadn't thought about him otherwise. But there it is. There's the temptation. There's a seed from the enemy to destroy a young boy and have him thinking that, you know, I never thought that God did good things for me, so why would I think God did bad things for him? But let's go on. So let's talk about that endurance growing, okay? Endurance is like a weed spray. You get endurance, and those weeds are not going to be able to come and choke things out. You got a whole nother soil there that becomes, it was, because it wasn't anything wrong with the soil, it's just that the weeds of life came up in it. And without endurance, those weeds have their way, you know? And okay, let's face it, we've all got soil where weeds can grow, right? We've all got spots. We maybe have spots where we were going pretty good and you know, things just fell apart, and we maybe wondered for a little bit how it fell apart, but we let it go. And so it doesn't matter if it's weeds or it's shadow or it's a path, if the seed gets moved away, that's just not best, okay? But there's always recovery. There's always overcoming faith. Overcoming faith is something that develops from deeper things of God. You know, and that's not, oh, that's deep. Believe me, I'm not deep when it comes to the things of God. I'm just right on the surface. I just jump at the goodness of God. And I refuse to jump at God doing anything evil or to even agree to it or even nod my head to it. I'll fight that tooth and nail. and we all should. Something I do sometimes that I just say, I'm sorry, Lord, is sometimes I hear a word, and I love that word, and I don't happen to have a pen or paper. I used to carry a little recorder with me sometimes, and I would speak what it was into that recorder. But then sometimes I'd speak so much into the recorder I couldn't find what it was that I wanted to remember. And sometimes I write things in my journal and I have to go back and find where I wrote them, but I knew they spoke to me, and then I have to put a little star on them, and then I go through my journal and I have to go back and I have to find the little star. You know, it's just kind of an amazing combination of things. Like right now, I'm looking because I know that I brought, I thought I brought my devotional with me so that I would be able to get some notes off of it, and here I am. It's probably sitting on a table somewhere. And that's just what happened. So, yeah, and sometimes you mess things up, and that's what I just did. I did. I went and got my journal because I needed it for this, and now I'm going to have a message on two different places because instead of pausing it, I stopped it, and anyway, that doesn't matter. Here's the thing, okay? We're all looking for perfect and complete and needing nothing. We're looking to let our endurance grow and grow. I wrote a note to myself, to the Lord. I said, help me to always keep you in front of my thinking and actions and reactions. Because I just heard something the other night about on a show, and the guy said to his son, he said, sometimes, you know, your mouth goes 1,000 miles an hour and your thinking is so far behind. You don't think before you speak. You ever do that? So this is real love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. And he gave his son for us. You see, that's the big thing. See, sometimes we can say, well, I know I love God. I know I do. And God knows that I love him. And I think that that's very real. The thing is do we know that God loves us? That he loves us. And if we know that he loves us, and if we receive that love, then we know. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give you whatever you ask for? See, but again, that's like a hard path, the idea of whatever we ask for. Because we don't remember everything God does for us. Seems like we have a catalog of all the things that we've asked and it didn't happen. But I asked for this and I asked for that. I asked for my dad to be healed. My dad got healed. It's just that he went to heaven. I asked for Josiah to live, but Josiah went to heaven. I've asked a lot of things, and the biggest things I've ever asked God for. I mean, the biggest things, most every one of the biggest things are the things that didn't go my way. And that's not God's fault. So real love. Real love. In Acts 4, verse 30, they prayed and the building shook. I tell you what, I get shaken in this lifetime sometimes, but I've never had the building shake. I have felt burdens and they have just brought me to my knees. I have done that, but I've never felt the building shake, and I want that, I don't want to just overlook hard places in my heart. Or hard paths in my faith. I don't want to leave some weedy spots. I don't want to give in to the loss because of shallowness. I want to be ground that produces. And endurance moves us up the road, you know. Endurance takes us into the deep, deep things. Endurance makes us available for the Holy Spirit to bring us in to the deep things of God. And deep things of God are, you know, it's pretty deep to know the love of God. I mean, know the love of God. Know that he loves us so much, cares about us so much. Know that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. Knowing those things just kind of adds a boost to our endurance. And so when we don't understand and we really feel like giving up, those things that we know, hold fast to the things that we know, hold on to those things that we know, so that those things that we know push us over the line into the victory. The deep thing is that we thank God who always causes us to triumph. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. These are things that we know. These are things that we know for certain. But sometimes we don't know them for certain, because things come in and try to compromise those things, but we really know it. And so we hold on to those things that we know, and we don't let go because we cannot be defeated. We can be hard pressed, but not crushed. We can be knocked down. So, as it says in Hebrews 11:14, hold firmly to what we believe. But don't hold so firmly to what you believe. If you have believed less than the depths of what the Holy Spirit is leading you to. Some things we need to hold just a little bit loosely, so that we can, you know, I used to run track, and it was a problem if the person handing off the baton to the next person held on to it too tight. The baton might get dropped. The baton might not get exchanged, you know. Be prepared to go deeper. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you that we can and we will go deeper into the love of God. There is no limit, no limit to what Holy Spirit can teach us and strengthen us and help us through. So we will hold on to you above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.